Hello, I am Paul. We're home.
And this is GamerCast. And it's hot.
I think maybe we should say this is GamerCast before we introduce ourselves in the future.
Welcome to GamerCast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul.
And this is episode...
29.
We've nearly hit 30. Is anybody listening to me?
No.
Oh, it's so hot today. Right.
Shut the door, it's going to turn into an oven now.
Okay, shall I open the door?
If you want.
Okay, we're opening the door. And I'm going to get attacked by a dog. No. Right, first letter, we had a letter off Tony, inquiring about the demo for Hitman after I started talking about it last episode. I noticed on the webpage that someone had answered it for me, but I shall answer it anyway because... I was going to answer Tony on
because
the
we don't have anything else to talk about, so we've got to answer the question.
Yeah, so basically wanted to know about all of the really annoying bits where it comes in and says, right, now if you pick up this, then you can throw a coin at him and get him to be distracted and then shoot him. Obviously all of that is just training. A lot of people will probably notice that the game itself is very much straight. There's no... bending away from what you're doing. You're going through, knock a guard out, distract two, go up into a building, shoot some homies that are all sat around a table, hide in a closet, and nothing will happen until you hide in the closet. Then a scientist comes out, you knock him out, nick get some guns and put his clothes on, and then sneak through to the next bit, and so on and so forth. It's very straight.
Linear.
Yeah. The reason why that is that they want to force you to experience as everything that they've set there, because they make sure that you pick up different weapons and hide it, pick up melee weapons, change clothes, go into an elevator and actually climb up through the hatch and strangle someone, get cards, identification. They kind of give you a bit of leeway with near the ending of the killing of what you can do, placing bombs to drop stuff onto people's heads, throwing a guy out of a window, using a sniper rifle, maybe putting some poison in the secretary's drink so she knocks out before you go in there. Otherwise you can just pummel her with a gun and then go in and assassinate the person and then fight your way out. The reason for this is they want you to experience everything that's possible in this game. That's it. When you come to playing a normal level, it kind of says, right, here's a picture of who you're going to shoot. Maybe you pick up this case that's got diamonds in, you're getting a bonus. Don't shoot that person. Here's your customized weapons, here's your front door, your exit's over there. Oh, on the map there's a kind of like a little icon that says if you decided you wanted an M4 carbine for this mission, it'll be sneaked in there so you can get it later. Enjoy. And that's pretty much it.
Okay.
The route, costumes, how you kill people, if you kill people, and how you do it, when you do it. It's up to you. You can do each mission again and again, several different ways. I've started doing a mission now where before I've gone in with a sniper rifle, I've booked a room in a hotel and I've shot people across from one window to another. This time I killed just one guy, took his identification and carried on doing his job, got paid for it, and then a cat killed everyone afterwards. And there's so many different ways you can start being the hired help. That helps a lot, or so that you dress up as a waiter and or someone who's carrying food around. And I had to get into a house that was protected by the FBI, and you can knock out the guy that brings all the food in for this party, and you can hide your silenced pistol in the food container and then carry that in, and they'll search you and they don't find anything on you. Walk in, pull it out, shoot everybody. Or you can put a bomb in it, and then as soon as the guy comes over, he goes, ooh, there's a burger, goes up the press at you, boom. So to the answer of that question, the rest of the game is not like it. Only the first level is specifically like that. And annoyingly, you cannot turn off the tutorial. You can skip it really quickly and just leave it like that. But it is very, like Paul said, linear. It's just to give you a taste so you know what's possible. Because there are so many ways of doing everything. And you know it never works out how you planned it, because you set it up so that you come in, knock that guy out, nick his clothes, you've got your sniper rifle, thinking, right, I need to go up to the roof, you can shoot those people from there, change clothes and come down and shoot someone in the back with my silenced gun on the other side of the building. And you walk through, and then some annoying guard comes in and goes, "Oi, what are you doing?" Pulls out a gun, starts firing off rounds, and everybody starts running, and you're having to hide in closets, keep changing your clothes, hiding bodies, and it all mucks up, and you can still survive it by thinking on your feet, which I think is a good aspect of the game. The AI is getting harder. I've started going on some of the harder levels, and once you find a body, that's it. Tension goes through the roof, and they're just hunting for you 24/7. It's crazy. Yeah, but that's my bit for...
Okay, I think you should buy me this game.
Actually, what I'll do, next time I come over, I'll bring it over so you can have a go on it. Bring the Xbox up here. It is really good. The ending is amazing. The storyline's good. There's some nice cutscenes, but there's some cutscenes in between the levels, and then you've just got the cutscene where how Agent 47 receives his mission. Every time he gets his data, he's either sat at his table in his hideout, or he's in some hotel room and it'll slide under the door, and he puts a little chip in his tiny little palm top sort of thing that opens up, and he receives his mission and all his data and stuff. So it is quite cool.
Okay,
MotoGP 6 out in a couple of days in the UK. Obviously, if you're in America, it's probably out and you already buyed it and you're already playing it and you already know how good a game it is. I haven't played the demo yet. You played, haven't you?
Yeah, the demo is good. I played it for at least 20 minutes. I played it online as well, and yeah, it's good.
In comparison to the MotoGP on the Xbox, the first one that came out that was like absolutely uberly amazing.
The first one that came out was uberly amazing, like you said. I mean, it's obviously the same game. You know, you've got bikes and you go forward and left and right, and so...
Racing game's a racing game.
Is it better than the first one, though? That's tricky, because the first one was stellar. It blew away the competition totally.
Mm, the control of the bikes was just amazing from front to back brake, and just how it reacted.
I don't think it reacts as well as it did in the first one.
Yeah.
The control doesn't feel as nice, but the game's got loads more stuff in it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You know they're paying attention to more stuff in the game and in the graphics. Sounds like the gameplay may have slipped a little, but not enough that it's not a good game if you're into your MotoGP.
If you want a bike game, it's the best bike game there is.
Yeah, and I imagine the graphics are looking absolutely amazing.
Graphics are average.
Really? Not
average for Xbox 360, man.
Yeah, where in comparison to anything else, it's still top notch. So that's a new Xbox game for the 360 coming out.
The demo is on Marketplace. Make sure to download it.
Yep. And like we said last week, soon the new update, so that you'll be able to put it in your queue and then you can get it as you please. I'm going to be queuing up all my E3 stuff as soon as that comes out. My Xbox will just be sitting there burning away downloading stuff. Right, we've got a tidbit of a new Spore demo video.
We watched that.
Yeah. It was nice to see, because obviously stuff's been tweaked. It pretty much looks the same sort of thing. And as he was going around and went onto a different planet and stuff, we managed to find that classic Spore creature that was created in the first one, with the three legs and the tail that attacks you and stuff like that, with the three eyes. It was quite interesting, the fact that he spent a little bit more time on certain areas. They skipped a lot of the beginning bits and just got to the bit where your creature's out on the land. And
the creature phase.
Yeah, which it was nice, because it showed a bit more detail of the mating call and finding a mate and mating and getting your eggs, and then having to protect your eggs. Also, one thing that was nice to see was they were going into the whole herds, that you can actually find other creatures that are with you and also your offspring and stuff, and you can get a herd going and you have to protect your herd and you can get them around and be chased. He was being chased by something that looked like it had antlers like a deer, neck like a giraffe, but it was painted like a zebra with a very large mouth. It's quite creepy. They went into a bit more detail with the designer, the builder for the character at the beginning, which is quite nice, with the fact that they built a body that was like a C shape, and there were arms halfway down and a pair of legs, and it was a two-legged creature, but its butt had been turned round and there was a mouth on its butt, and the top part had the eyes. That was just hilarious. And then they went through the painting scheme, which is really nice, just showing how you go through all the textures. And then on top of that, so you could have your green, kind of luminous green, and then you've got this nice rippled texture to give a sense of skin or scales or whatever your creature's got. Then you could go on and put another layer on so that you're adding on kind of yellow stripes over this green or whatever you wanted to go and go through all the stripes. And it was just going through more and more and more. The other thing that I do like about it is he showed that as he's going through and he had offspring and they kind of developed, and you're going through the next evolution of the character. He said, you've got your points here, and you could come and grab some newer feet and say you're changing the feet a bit better, which gives him a more sense of speed. Because before, it just seemed like you were customizing the character in itself, wasn't it? And it was more on how you did, how many legs you had and how big they were on the aspect of how your creature performed. But now it looks like depending which hands you actually pick, or which hooves, or which feet, will determine kind of like on a point system to your character of how fast it can run and its attack and stuff like that. Speaking about point system, one thing they also showed was once you get to near the end where you manage to get your civilization to buy...
Civilization 4. Awesome game.
That it is. When you get your spaceship, which I didn't even realise because every time I've seen it, it's been this UFO and I thought, oh, you standing, you got a UFO.
Flying saucer.
The flying saucer.
It's UFO is an unidentified flying object.
The saucer, then. The cool thing is, like Paul told me, that it's that is actually customizable. You make it how you want it to be, which was a nice thing.
So we can make it look like the Starship Enterprise, or Battlestar Galactica, or the Defiant.
The Falcon. The Millennium Falcon.
Or a Klingon bird of prey.
Or you could probably shape it so that it's like the aliens out of the new War of the Worlds. Because...
you mean that really crap film?
Yeah, with Tom Cruise. The aliens, if you look at them, the pods actually look like them. You know, if you're a three-legged...
That film is so bad.
I know. If you're a three-legged race, you're bound to build a ship that's got three legs. So I like the idea that you can create your ship to be more like... It looks like it was created by your civilization. The same with all the tanks and all your vehicles and stuff. But another thing they showed was...
Oh, God, that film is just terrible. you shouldn't have brought that up. I mean, why would they leave their spaceships on Earth for, what, thousands of years or whatever it was? And then they teleport themselves in? Why not just teleport the ships and them at the same time? And don't you think it's a bit odd that they have, you know, hundreds of these ships all over the Earth, but we've never found one?
Do you know why? Because it looked really dramatic for one to come out through the street. And for Tom Cruise to run away from it, that's the reason why. I did like the film,
it's so
but
dumb. It's nearly as dumb as Signs. It's nearly as dumb as Armageddon.
The bit you like, come on.
Oh, God, and take the thunder sequence where, you know, they're all coming in and it's a big, you know, thunder lightning bolts and stuff. But there's no thunder. What the hell is wrong with that? Because they do that to try and get a reaction, right? Oh, let's have lightning without thunder. And they make a sort of big deal out of it. You can't have lightning without thunder. Because, you know, if you have that much electricity, have you ever had that much static electricity going through it? It will make noise. It will make a sonic boom.
Speaking of static electricity...
So you can't have thunder. You can't have lightning without thunder.
Because
thunder is a result of the lightning.
Because I'm having to wear my glasses more and my right eye's gone really bad. I thought I was getting flashes of light in the dark. At the moment, obviously, this is a podcast, you can't see. I'm wearing board shorts. And obviously, inside, they've got that netted stuff. So you could wear these as, like, in the ocean. So you don't have to wear boxer shorts underneath. And I was going to bed two nights ago, and I took them off, and you could hear all the static crickling, and you're taking them off, and I just looked down, and all the static is bolting across my crotch, and it's illuminating my shorts, because I've been pitch black darkness, and I thought, oh, my eyes are playing tricks on me, and then I ruffled them around a bit, and you could see all the static charge lighting up my shorts, and I'm like, whoa, okay, that's scary, get these shorts off quick. That was freaky as hell, and I keep doing it every night, trying
have
to see
if you finished going off topic?
Yeah, have a little light show in my pants. What I was trying to get to, your favourite bit, was the fact that you build... They were showing ways you go around with your spaceship, and you're scanning... Because everyone's seen the whole abduction thing. You abduct it, drop it on a planet, And
if the planet's no good for it, it'll probably blow up or die or mould up.
The one they showed this time, which was interesting to see something different, was they dropped it on a planet and all the species that were there, which were the classic three-legged ones that we've seen from the previous demo, all ganged up on this one creature and ripped it to pieces, which that was just at the point where they started saying they've all got a point system of how good they are as a creature. And they bring out, I know some people are not going to like this, but I think it makes a nice touch because it's not an infinite part of the game, is a database, which is all off a card system, so you can see your cards, but it's not, they're only like that because I think
it's not a Yu-Gi-Oh card game, you just got the cards with stuff about the stuff on it.
So it's more like
you don't
baseball
print
cards.
The cards out and trade them with people.
I don't know, there might be something
oh
to
God,
do with
I have not.
Trading, but it's more in the sense of I found this creature and you pass
in
it on.
In other words, it's a database and it looks like when you look at a thing, it's organized in the shape of a card.
A bit like Top Trumps, really. It's kind of like, this is the creature you found and this is its stats. So you kind of like, you've got your planet and it says about the atmosphere and stuff like
so
that.
So in other words, you've got pieces of paper on the screen that are shaped like cards
with
stuff about them. Wow, man, what an awesome feature.
But it's just nice that you've got like this database that you create yourself so that you know where things are. Where you're thinking, right, I want to get these animals off this planet and I want to put them over here. And you like look at it and go, yeah, okay, so if I could put an entire colony of these giraffe-shaped zebras, they're going to last about 30 seconds because the indigenous life is going to rip them apart and hunt them. You kind of go, oh, yeah, it's a waste of my time, and you can hunt for another planet.
But what you can do is later on in the game, you get the genetics editor. Mm. You can beef those species up to be more resistant. So when you move them from one planet to another planet,
yeah,
before they would get pwned, but you can, you know, add chainsaws onto them, or shotguns, or machine guns, or nuclear weapons, or whatever.
Mine has.
I'm speculating about the nuclear weapons and stuff.
My creature's right buff cheek is Master Chief. He just moons them. I need a bigger gun. But no, it is. The thing I'm liking about it is that near enough each one of these demo videos we're seeing, they're not changing too much of the good stuff, but we're seeing stuff in more detail, it's more polished, and you're starting to see things, because the aspect of this game that a lot of people have got excited about is it's vast, it's big, you'd be playing it for ages.
Well, until you got bored with it.
Yeah, but like I was saying earlier, the other thing I like about this game, you get some games where you're having to work your way through and you're leveling up and stuff. Everybody wants to get to the last level. I must admit, a lot of people don't want to get the last level on this to have the UFO and go around and create your whole galactic empire with your galactic database and your nuking places and stuff. But the cool thing is, I like the first level. You're going around as a little single cell organism going around and it's like Geometry Wars and you're attacking stuff and being attacked. And I like the fact that each stage you feel personally connected to your alien and you want to create it and do what you want with it. And because each one is different, you're not there going, oh, I want to level up quickly because I want to get to the civilization bit so I can get my UFO. But then even the UFO, it feels like once you've got there, you've got plenty to do. A new aspect of this show, which I haven't seen before, is when you're on the UFO, you've got like this...
Can you stop calling it the UFO?
Sorry, the big flying saucer. Or it didn't look like
the
flying saucer.
It should be called the spaceship.
The spaceship. Okay.
It is a ship of space.
The spaceship.
That's it. I'm writing to Maxis and telling him to rename it because it pisses me off people calling things the wrong thing.
The spaceship. You can communicate with your home planet and other planets. And it's this kind of blue, kind of crackly thing with your creature kind of giving it what for. And what was it? You set up some fireworks and kind of... Everybody was like, yay!
One of the first contact scenarios was brings the UFO down over this city and starts launching fireworks. And the inhabitants of this city were impressed. Then, he abducted one or two of them and they were less impressed.
Screamed their heads off and set off their planetary defences and started blowing the crap out of the spaceship. And so he started attacking them back and then they were talking to him, and then he started talking to his own people, and they were all cowering, because the one thing that is quite cool is the fact that because each one of these civilizations obviously is probably created eventually, or be created by someone else in the game, so if this person's connected, built a big planet of systems, and their whole entire solar system is colonized by these creatures, and they're really strong, and they've got allies with other creatures that they've connected with, and they're like got diplomacies and stuff, and they're like, yeah, we're all together, big galactic empire. You're playing from your point of view, you piss one of them off, you've got all of them chasing you in galactic war, and or it's the other way around, and you've got a massive army, and you go pwn someone. Oh, I can't wait for this game.
Okay, Adam wants Spore.
Now. Not tomorrow, now. I'm going to start playing Civilization 4 again, because that's...
Yeah, we have to finish our multiplayer game.
Yeah. Because I was getting pwned, if I remember rightly. You were coming to save my life.
Well, I think
the Aztecs were pissing me off, and he wanted... You attacked him. He goes, okay, I'm sorry now, I want to be your friends. And I was like, no, I want your land.
Yeah, you stupidly. I tried to get the Aztec person to make peace with you, right? So I was giving them all the stuff to make a peace with you, and you were just rejecting outline. It's like, dude, you're totally outnumbered by these guys. And so wait for me to build up my forces, then we'll attack them. But no, it's like, oh, I'm going to fight them, I want their land. And here is Adams losing cities left, right, and center.
Just running into the battle screaming, battle!
As he gets promptly blown up.
Oh, I'm like that all the time. Think about the consequences later, just running, machine guns firing, and blow everything up. Right, a new release that we've found on... Well, I noticed it first on Play.com, but I've had a look on the Xbox.com website, and it has been advertised there, because it is an official piece of kit, because obviously there are now more third-party stuff that's coming out, although I must admit, some of the 360 controllers aren't too bad. I wouldn't buy one, because the 360 official controllers are so nice, why would you want anything else? But if you're really stuck for money, or you wanted one for your brother who gets jammed over everything and stands on it all the time, then fair enough, they're quite a nice build. But this, the quick charge kit, which looks quite nice, because everybody has the playing charge kit or the spare batteries, which means that you have to charge it while you're playing. If you're seriously hardcoring all four controllers at the same time, or at least two, it means if you buy some extra batteries, I think it does actually come with two batteries, I'm not sure. I'd have to have a look at that. But it's this like little pod system, and you click in two batteries and it will charge them up. So the if you have got, say for instance, you've got a large living room and you've got your big wide screen, flat screen TV screwed to the wall and whatnot, and it's
106 inch TV, yeah.
Yeah. And your Xbox is a bit too far away, that if you do end up having to go for the whole playing charge, you've got to go sit in the middle of the living room on the floor and get a numb ass. This is for you, because it means as soon as the battery comes out, the time it takes for you to actually try and get your playing charge kit in, you can just go and click a spare battery, click that one in, put the old one into the playing charge, the new quick charge kit, click that in, and it'll start charging. And because you've got two batteries on the go, it means that, say there are four of you always playing all the time, and you play multiplayer non-stop four-way. Buy two of these, and it means you've got full batteries charging up to replace each controller, you know, if you wanted to go for it. Or otherwise, if you're just by yourself and you hardcore on Xbox Live all the time, that means you've got three batteries on the go, two charge, one gone. You hardcore and you're finally going through batteries quick, then obviously it's...
Yeah, but it takes like 2 hours to charge battery up, and it takes 30 hours to discharge it, so you don't need three batteries on the go at once.
No, unless you were weird. Fair enough, I've got a playing charge kit and I'm quite happy with mine, but I think it's for that person that needs more batteries being charged at once, and maybe for the people that just cannot stand having a cable there, or that they want that freedom of being away from the Xbox as much as possible.
How much is it then?
I can't remember, bring up the... I can click on it quick. I think it was quite a reasonable price, to be honest. Yeah, $17.99 off play.com.
So that's £2 more.
So it's 19.
£3 more than, yeah, the playing charge gets 15 quid in it, so £3 more.
Yeah, which obviously its price it's saying is $19.99. So obviously off the internet you're looking at penny off 20 quid. Or paying a penny off £18 if you're willing to go get it. Off this.
It comes with one battery and you can charge two batteries up at a time.
Yeah. On an AC adapter. So yeah, it is quite a nice little thing if you feel like you're going to use it. Otherwise, if you've just got, like myself, I have one wired controller and one wireless one. And I got fed up of going through AA batteries, so I got the plane charge kit, and you know that does me fine. I'm not exactly going to be running out and buying one of these.
When are they releasing the wireless headset?
I don't know. There is a headset on here, but it's third party. Wireless one would be very interesting. Because I'm curious how they're going to do it. Because
USB dongle in the front of the console.
Right. I must admit, that's going to be a lot nicer because it's like...
I think, or plug in on the actual controller itself, I'm not sure.
I can't see why they would plug it in on the controller. Because if you plugged it in on the controller... Well, actually, no, it would be quite cool because if you click that on the back...
It depends how much power it need. I mean, if you could draw enough power from the input on the controller, then why not?
Yeah. Fair enough, people... some people are like, well, why? Because you're wireless anyway. You're plugged in. It's like what we found. You plug in your headset because I'm running off my old Xbox Live headset, and you're wireless from your thing, and we're on the chat channel, I can walk away.
You have to carry your controller around.
Yeah. If this is wireless, it means if it's running off a wireless system like a dongle stuck in the back of your controller, I must admit, you'd be able to get a hell of a distance because you can pull the Xbox controller as far away as you can, then put it down and then carry on with your headset so you can get quite a bit of distance away still chatting. I could probably imagine that it'd probably be a USB dongle, because I can't see if there's any games that four people play online all the time with using the headsets, but then again, maybe they do.
Anyway, just use the USB hub.
Yeah. So...
I mean, if you take the... If you take the HD DVD drive, that's got two, possibly three USB ports on the back anyway.
So, yeah, it's going to be nice. Curious to see, because that headset on there, I couldn't tell if it was just a one ear or it was like the old one where it was the bar going around the back.
I think it was just one ear.
Clipping on. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. It'd be nice if they had something kind of like that clipped all the way around, a bit more like what you got there for the Bluetooth. And then clip that round and then just pull it out the little mic just there. That'd be quite nice, because the headsets are getting really nice with Bluetooth, and I think they've designed some really good ones, so the technology's there to be used. That'd be nice when it comes out. Cause
also, something that nobody seemed to have spotted at E3, USB PC controller dongle, so you can use a wireless pad on the PC.
Yeah, because we were talking about that a while ago, that... We know it's possible, but they hadn't brought anything out for the connection on the other side of the PC.
So that's probably something that's coming in the future. Which is good, because it means I won't have to buy a wired controller.
Because I've been using my wired controller on my PC, and it's nice. I must admit, I do like using it. I still prefer a joystick for flight stuff, but I just don't have the money to buy one.
You can buy mine, only £80.
Where's my wallet? Oh, these board shorts have no pockets, never mind. Oh, that's right,
yeah.
Yeah,
well, hey.
Well, hey, indeed.
What a slow episode.
Bow chicka bow wow, yeah. And I apologise for the slowness, but it's a sunny day. You know, gaming industry starts going on pauses on sunny days, I'm sure of it. And as soon as it gets to the right to the summer, the only thing we'll be looking forward to is the odd new game. And obviously...
What about that fantasy star, whatever it was? Did you want to say something about that?
Yes. Kat mentioned it to us. She wasn't too sure if I knew or not, but I'd already known about it. I mentioned before Fantasy Star Universe, which was shown at E3. If you go onto the official webpage and everything like that, like I said... It was out in the 360. Nowhere mentions it's on the 360 because that was the latest thing that was added on, because people at Microsoft are very, very interested in bringing in massive multiplayer games. Obviously, they've got the Final Fantasy, which I think was a good idea, because I think it will sell. I imagine there's probably quite a few people in Japan. It will sell in Japan.
It won't sell anywhere else because it's buggy shit.
I played the demo. I love Final Fantasy, but this, it wasn't blowing the wind up my skirt. But it looks like they're going around trying to get it. I'll go on to that in a minute, but back to the universe, they've got the license to allow it to be on the 360. I don't know what they're doing for interface. As far as I believe, it's like Final Fantasy, where they have their own load-up system, email system that's all set up and everything.
Boo.
It would be nice if someone came out and made a massive multiplayer game
that actually used Microsoft's interfaces.
Yeah, Microsoft's interfaces.
Because they actually don't suck.
The headset, using kind of like the system that they use for Halo, with a proximity mic, so the closer you get, the louder and better you can hear people, so that you haven't got 1,001 people chattering in your head when you're walking along. Then the fact that it would be specifically running for 360, which would be nice, and if it was like, what's the game that you were nearly tempted to buy with me? Guild Wars. Like Guild Wars, where it does not require
money.
Then Paul would buy it. See, Paul would be happy. We get some sort of fantasy-style, Oblivion-y type game and put it like that, and you'd love it, wouldn't you?
Sure, why not?
Exactly. Large communities getting together. Come on, Microsoft. Some game developers to build it for you. But yeah, Fantasy Star Universe coming out on the 360 looks amazing. They still haven't released any information. Obviously, you will have to pay for it because it will be coming out on other formats. It's coming out on PC and PlayStation 2. I don't know why. So obviously, you're going to have to pay for it, yada, 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 your normal stuff. I keep seeing it all over the place. I think they're trying to figure out if people would buy it, but they're pushing the idea and the concept of bringing World of Warcraft over to the 360. Obviously, it will be exactly the same. You'll be playing with the PC people, you will have to pay the subscription. You know, it's a shame. But I think it's for the fact that the World of Warcraft has got so big that there are people that are kind of like, I would pay the money, and I would buy it, but I don't have a PC, or my PC shit, I just use it for word processing or work or whatever. I'm happy with my 360, you know, there are people out there that just want, that specifically go out there and buy broadband just for their Xbox 360. Or they have a PC, but it's their dad's, and their dad's like, no, you're not putting any stupid games on my nice,
crappy computer.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think there is a demand out there, and people are getting excited, but whether they go for it, I think they're really just going to wait until, you know, numbers are high for it, because it's a lot of money and it's got to be a game that's released and people are like, oh, I've already got it, or it's better to buy it on the PC, because the advantage of the PC is you've got that keyboard. Fair enough, if they did bring it out, it would be really nice if they give you the option to be able to plug in a USB keyboard, which I found out they have done with Final Fantasy XI, you can plug in a USB keyboard and use it for typing. Because I don't know if anybody out there has seen it, you can find it on most import websites. They brought out an official, unofficial stroke game controller for the GameCube for Phantasy Star Online Episode 1 and 2. And basically, they got a GameCube controller and they chopped it in half and stuck a keyboard in the middle. So you sit it on your lap and you put your hands either side and you use it like a normal controller, and then when you've got to type, you slide your hands to the middle and touch type in, and then you bring your hands to the outside of the keyboard. And I like that because it means that for the first time you weren't having your hands in that awkward position where they're in the center and you're bowing your shoulders around. You actually could have your hands to the side of the keyboard and use it like that, and it was a nice sort of feel. So
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
Can find people on the internet. The only problem was that was the only game that came out, so it meant you were specifically buying this keyboard just for that one game. And it wasn't majorly big in this country. There were a lot of people that have it. I've got a copy of it, but the amount of people that played online, because massive multiplayer wasn't majorly big back in those days. There weren't that many.
Especially on a console.
Yeah. It's all for the PC. I think they're pushing it more, though. They're trying to get it onto more on the consoles. They're trying to get more and more people on it, because it's big money at the moment.
Yeah.
I must admit, me and my mate Shax are waiting for the new Stargate one to come out.
Exciting.
Yeah. Get you excited. I'm still determined to get you on one, although it needs to be extremely cheap.
You pay for it. I might install it.
So yeah, that's about it.
If it's a CD release like World of Warcraft, forget it. I'm not fucking installing 3 or 4 discs, whatever it is. Insert disc 2. Insert disc 3.
But it's better than downloading the whole entire game.
I'd rather download the whole thing, because at least I know that I have to juggle CDs.
Oh, I'll do the juggling CD for you.
Okay, you install it for me, then I might load it up. I mean, look how many clicks it is to load something up. 1, 2, well, that's 1.5.
Yeah, but if you have Vista, then you don't have to, because you can say, start listening, start all programs.
That's talking, that's even more work.
Oh. We need people out there, we need to find a way for Paul to be able to play his computer without having to do anything. So we need to design something so you can use... Oh, you can have it like those ones that they've got where you've got straws and you breathe for the people that are paralyzed from the jaw down and they kind of... where they're breathing through the straw and it makes the computer do different stuff. You know, I've seen those.
You control the computer with a straw.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
Yeah, exactly. We need more of those out. So I'd say that's pretty much it. We're still wanting people to send in pictures for GamerCast t-shirts. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything to do with GamerCast. It would be some sort of like funny picture or something to do with gaming or your favourite game without ripping off copyright. And that'll be really cool. And we'll make up the t-shirts.
So indeed.
I'm still trying to think of some ideas. I'm still trying to get my character right for the GamerCast comic book, which...
we can sell for £30 a copy.
Yeah, if I could draw that one. Now I'm going to be doing little strips and posting them. I've got my new notebook. Pull out pieces of paper so I can draw the strip out, scan it in, then colour it in Photoshop and plunk it on the website. So that's coming soon. If people that have looked at my blog...
it's been coming soon for like...
no, not that soon.
6 months.
People have been looking and they've seen my blog, and with the whole... the South Park style animation, that's gone out the window, because when I found out how hard it was to actually try and do this in CG, I was like, because I found out how they do it in South Park, it looks like cut out pieces that are all done. It's drawn in 2D, it's just drawn in a way that it makes it look like someone's done it stop frame. There's a dog trying to climb on me. Hello there, you want a hug? No, you're not kissing me. Hey, doggy.
Here comes the other one. Okay.
No more dogs.
The dogs have gone.
I can't remember what I was talking about.
Animation, South Park.
Yes, the South Park, that's gone out the window. It was so hard to try and get the lip sync to actually still keep it looking the same as those pictures looked. It would have been nice, kind of like Portal Park, but the time, I might go back to it at a later date. I have been looking at an idea, which I haven't mentioned to you yet, of just creating 2 characters for GamerCast and just having our voices on them. Kind of got a Star Wars feel to it, something like that. just to do some shorts, even if it's just putting our voices from episode of GamerCast and stupid bits that we've said or things like that, and then just load up these short little animations for people to watch. So trying to add more to GamerCast, because I'm trying to keep all you guys interested. I'm sorry that it's taken so long, that I've been job hunting. Good news is, Adam's got a job, so Adam's got money. So now
he's got even less time to do stuff.
Well, no, it means that I'm not having to spend all my time on the showreel, because my dad's always going, do your showreel, because you've got to get a job, because you've got to pay your own way in this house. And I'm like, well, now I've got a nice job that pays lots of money. I can afford to spend my evenings just drawing and him not breathing down my neck going, what are you doing? Get money. I feel so like I'm doing something bad when I start doing stuff for myself. I leave playing gaming time when I know he's using my PC, so it doesn't look like I'm doing on purpose. It's even worse now because he's at home all the time. He's finished his job.
Well, hey.
Yeah. So I think that's it. Wrapped up. Someone please send me a drawing that would be cool for put on the t-shirt. You don't have to do it majorly professional. Even if it's just a sketch and it's scanned in, I can do cleanup and I'll colour it in Photoshop and do all the highlights and stuff. and then get it all ready for Paul to put onto front of a t-shirt, and then we can set up your t-shirt so you can have your own GamerCast t-shirt. We need to do one specifically for Bobman.
And we need to actually sell some bloody t-shirts.
Yeah.
We ain't sold any yet. Bobman, taking a smack.
We need a t-shirt for you. It needs to be a... Oh, that's it. It needs to be a Master Chief one. It needs to be him dressed up as Master Chief.
That'll go down well.
I hate consoles.
That'll go down very well.
So, yeah, I would say that's pretty much it. Feedback at GamerCastFeedback.net.
Email us audio clips, questions, whatever, rants, reviews, anything.
If there's anybody out there that's kind of like, do you guys think this game is any good? I've seen it on the net. I'll go out and have a look at it, see what I think, give my opinion. Paul will do the same. I'll show him the video and he'll just rant about it. If anybody's stuck on anything, the games that are out or anything like that, or anything like that, we'll try our best. Or whatever.
Yeah, we can just rip off some walkthrough site.
Or actually borrow the game.
Or nick the game and then do something.
Yeah. We want a bit more interaction with you guys, because I love doing the show, but everyone's gone a bit quiet lately. I know a lot of people are trying to do all their exams and stuff, and I feel for your people. I was there one day, a student for God knows how many years. I'm babbling on.
Yes, you are.
End of the show. You know where to stick all the stuff, portal forms, yada, yada, yada. If you don't, go back to a previous episode and listen to the ending.
Yeah, listen to our previous episode. Listen to all the previous episodes. That'll make this episode seem more interesting, because it will seem full up with content from other episodes. Or vice versa.
I got an idea for a different episode. We want to do an episode with a recap of the best bits from GamerCast, and we'll just slice them in and talk about it. We won't talk about anything but GamerCast.
Yeah, that's a good way to Skyward.
We're going to do that. If you guys don't give us feedback, we're going to do a really boring episode when you don't know it's coming.
You know, it's going to be a major week like E3 or something, and we're just going to hit you with a boring episode.
This is a game. It come on a CD. I put it in the drive, and it said, "This is a game for a Macintosh. Sorry." I don't even know they have many games. I know
they've got 6 games.
I know the
played them all 10 years ago.
World of Warcraft is slowly coming to the Mac.
Stop talking about the Mac.
Well, I just like talking about World of Warcraft. I want to play it again. My dwarf Brinley needs to kick some ass.
Indeed.
Anyway,
are we done?
Yes, we're done. I'm going now. See you next week. We want feedback. Letters. Come on, people. I'm not doing all the work. This is your show. Well, it's our show. We're doing it for you. So we need some feedback for you to make it better, to make your lives cool.
Wahey.
Wahey, indeed. Bow chicka bow wow.
Okay, we're done.
We're done. Bye.